Good evening, and welcome to Boston University's World of Ideas. I'm Deborah Becker.
The inauguration of the 10th president of Boston University is about to begin. Please rise.
Earlier this week, students, faculty, trustees, staff, and alumni gathered to celebrate the installation of Dr. Robert A. Brown as Boston University's 10th president. We'll have Dr. Brown's inaugural speech for you a bit later in the program. Robert Brown was selected as Boston University president last June and took office in September. Prior to his appointment at BU, he was provost and Warren K. Lewis Professor of Engineering at MIT. He joined the faculty of MIT in 1979 as assistant professor. He then served as co-director of the MIT Supercomputer Facility, head of the Department of Chemical Engineering, and dean of engineering before becoming provost in 1998. During his tenure at MIT, Dr. Brown led the creation of multidisciplinary research centers, including the McGovern Institute for Brain Research, the Broad Institute, a world-renowned genomics research collaboration with Harvard University, its affiliated hospitals, and the Whitehead Institute for Biomedical Research, and the development of the Ray and Maria Stata Center as a facility for teaching, research, and student life focused on computer and intelligence sciences. Dr. Brown also oversaw the creation of the Biological Engineering Division and the Division of Engineering Systems as new interdisciplinary units in teaching and research. The 54-year-old Texas native earned a B.S. and an M.S. in chemical engineering at the University of Texas, Austin, and earned a Ph.D. at the University of Minnesota. He lives in Brookline, Massachusetts, with his wife, Beverly, a healthcare professional with a doctorate in biochemistry. They have two grown sons. Prior to last Thursday's inauguration, Dr. Brown spent some time speaking with WBUR's Morning Edition host, Bob Oakes.
Dr. Brown, thanks very much for having us in your office.
Well, welcome.
Bit of history here, if we might start with that. You've come to Boston University after a bit of leadership crisis here at the university. Most of us know the Dan Golden story, picked to lead the university, but his relationship with BU rather abruptly ended before he could be inaugurated. And we're wondering, from your point of view, if things have settled down. Are you feeling as positive today as you did when you were named president?
Actually, as time has gone on, my feelings about the university and the potential for the university has done nothing but grow. The university is a very, very strong private university with enormous quality in its programs and its students and its faculty. And I'm actually more ecstatic about being here today than I was in June when I was named.
One man, of course, who led Boston University for most of the last former years was former president, now president emeritus, John Silber. Some say he has a very long shadow here at BU. And I'm wondering, do you feel like you're serving in his shadow? And what's his role at BU today beyond the title?
John has big shoes to fill at Boston University because he shaped the Boston University we know today. He was the key leader in the transformation between a commuter university and a large private research university that we have today. John has big shoes to fill. I don't think the shadow is all that large, and I think John, in his role today is as a emeritus president, as a faculty member of the university. Like all of our faculty, John has strong opinions on topics, and he does have a voice in those topics. But in terms of the management leadership of the university today, he is taking what is the appropriate role, a step back as an emeritus president.
Have you called on him for his opinion and that sort of thing?
John and I have talked several times about topics of which, of course, he is deeply knowledgeable, and some of the conversation has been wide-ranging, some has been very specific.
During the Silber years, some viewed the Boston University Board of Trustees as functioning a bit like a rubber stamp for the then president. Is the board, in your opinion, operating more effectively today? And what's your relationship with the board and the individual board members?
The board went through a tremendous transformation that really appeared, I think, after the Dan Golden events, in terms of taking on the true role it should take in governance of the university. I have pushed the board. I have pushed the board since arriving. They knew I would do this in terms of getting them engaged at the proper level in governance and strategic planning of the university. I think, frankly, that a number of them are very enthusiastic and very engaged about doing this, but it's a new role for them. And as we go on, the board will get better at it, at that role. My personal feeling is there's a large number of the board members that were yearning for that kind of engagement. We have a big board, and so over time, for the president has to build a personal relationship with a relatively large number of people. Some of the board members who have been very engaged, I think we have great relationships. Others are still, we're working out the relationships as we go.
What are the biggest challenges facing the university educationally, and what are the biggest challenges facing higher education in general?
When you look at Boston University today, it's a large private urban university with an enormous breadth of our educational programs, from conservatory-like experiences in the College of Fine Arts to core liberal arts programs supported by the College of Arts and Sciences to professional programs in management, engineering. And this is just talking about undergraduate education. One of the huge challenges in front of us, and it's really an opportunity for this university, is how to unite all of these programs with a common vision of what undergraduate education in the 21st century is. What's the proper blend between a classic liberal arts education for and to educate an informed citizen in a 21st century democracy, with a balance with professional education that helps launch someone in a career that lets them serve in the economy of the world? I think we are perfectly positioned as a university to really have that discussion because we have the breadth of programs in the university to do that. The challenges in higher education, especially private higher education, one is the business model of the enterprise, is that if you look at quality, quality costs money. And as all of these universities, like Boston University, strive to get better at what they do, to get better in terms of faculty, better involvement in education with the students, more service-level learning by the students, more engagement, that costs money. In many ways, we lose what people would like to see as the efficiencies of the modern technology. If you want personalized education, education where you have really bright, really creative faculty working with students in a way that's meaningful, you lose the scale factors that would make education efficient. In some sense, you're going back to the apprentice mentoring mode. And as you do that, it gets very expensive. And so what's happened in higher education over time in private universities, it continues to increase in cost beyond what the public believes is the right inflator, the consumer price index. And our struggle is going to be access to the university for people from lower socioeconomic backgrounds as this price inflation continues. And the only way to combat that is through financial aid.
Many colleges and universities across America are, for the reasons you talk about, recommitting more money beyond what they had originally planned on committing to financial aid. What's BU's plan along those lines in order to address this issue that you're talking about?
The strategies in different colleges and universities has a lot to do with where the revenue streams are. BU, which has a relatively small endowment for the size of the private university, already commits a very large fraction of our tuition income to subsidizing financial aid for others. Last year it was about, for the average student at Boston University, it was over 33% of the tuition had been given back in terms of scholarships and grants to the students. So it's almost a third as we go on. Within our revenue model and within the operations of the university, it's going to be very hard to increase that fraction going forward. And so the biggest part of our strategy going forward is to make the case with the 250,000 alumni of this university, of whom many did get financial aid when they came here, that they should get back to make it accessible for others going forward. And I think that's the beauty of the American system, is there is a component of philanthropy in our society that people do give back to their institutions to make it them accessible for others.
I know BU's been very concerned and has made increasing the size of the endowment a priority. How's that effort going?
Our endowment is pushing up towards $1 billion. The endowment grows two ways. It grows because of investment returns, and that has been going very well since the downturn in the 2001-2002 timeframe. And it also grows through giving. We are just in the early stages of the presidency in re-engaging this large number of alumni. I think we will report at the end of the year, with our fingers crossed, the best fundraising year in the history of the university. But we have a long way to go in terms of getting to a place where our peer institutions are.
Have you found in your time in this office BU alum more in tune with the university's needs and more willing to, you know, pardon the expression, write the check?
Well, what I found in the last 6-7 months is what I found is an alumni who have been waiting to be engaged, you know, because of the turmoil of the last several years, because of the long transition period. There's a lot of people been standing on the sidelines waiting to engage and waiting to see what would emerge as the vision for Boston University going forward. I've found, as I've traveled around the country, as I have corresponded with people in all kinds of modes of communication, I found an alumni that wants to engage. Now, will that translate into, as we make the case at Boston University for increased support, will that translate into a large increase in philanthropic support? We'll have to wait and see.
I want to come back to an educational question that you raised a few minutes ago when we were speaking about those issues. And you mentioned the challenge at finding the right balance between educating students in the liberal arts tradition and educating students in the career platform type of way, for example, the management engineering students. What's your view of the proper balance? And is BU properly balanced?
I believe that BU has the potential to really be a leader in establishing that balance, because we have such a strong base in the liberal arts education tradition for a university of our size. I'll give you an example. We have in College of Arts and Science a rigorous language requirement, something that's been abandoned by many universities long ago. We have arts and humanities requirements that are in writing requirements that are very rigorous. I believe today that more than at any time in our past, say, 100 years, that we have to look at education as a platform for a career for our students that we cannot comprehend. They cannot comprehend where they're going. And so we have to think about, take a longer-term view of that education than, say, 30, 40 years ago. With that said, that balance in the 21st century probably will have a stronger science and mathematical balance to it than 20 to 30 to 40 years ago. Because in our society, to be an educated person, to read the front page of the New York Times or the Boston Globe, some understanding of the scientific world, some understanding of what is quantitative and what is not, what risk is and how you measure it, those kinds of understandings today are part of being an informed citizen in a way that I don't think was true 50 years ago. And so the balance in terms of my mind, in the balance of what is a liberal education, has a more of a science component today and will going forward than it did 50 years ago. And I think there is a rebalancing that will be necessary.
Across the river, Harvard is tackling the question of what the proper balance is in one way by considering the process of completely overhauling its life sciences curriculum, story that's been in the news lately. Instead of teaching just the basics to students right off the bat, it's designing a class structure that it hopes will be more challenging and more rewarding for students and professors. And would you like BU to take a closer look at the way it's teaching students in various programs?
This is something that will be a priority over the next several years. One of the things we have to take into account is our students come here, many, many of them, with having taken advanced classes at the high school level in mathematics and physics and biology and chemistry, and we have to offer classes for them when they come in that build on those platforms, build on that education from high school. And that's one reason that you should continually look at what your curriculum looks like and what base you're starting from at the college level. And I think that what Harvard is doing is very appropriate. I think BU has an additional opportunity because our undergraduates also can have truly professional undergraduate education in management, in communications, journalism, in engineering, in fine arts, performing arts, not just a liberal arts-based education. When we talk about putting in place the balance between the liberal arts and professional education, we're not talking about it based solely in a College of Arts and Sciences. We're talking about bringing together a university that has these large professional schools associated with it. At Harvard, it'd be akin to actually making letting the Harvard Business School in the conversation of what an undergraduate education is. That's not happening at Harvard.
What's the Bob Brown vision for Boston University as a nationally respected institution?
I believe that our legacy as a university is founded on several principles. One is we are a large, private, urban university, and that set of principles that are defined by that definition has a university that has breadth to it in terms of the programs we offer, has quality in terms of the research and scholarship and educational programs, and it has engagement in it, both with the city and with the world around it. I see us being the best, trying to be the best large private urban research university in America, engaged in the city, engaged in the world through programs, having leading scholarship and breadth and variety in what we offer students here on the campus.
The BU BioLab seems headed for construction after a lot of community opposition and concerns about safety. Your office here was recently occupied, albeit very briefly, by some people concerned about the project. How does the project fit in with your vision for the future of the university?
We have an opportunity as a university, and there are only two universities in the nation with this opportunity, to develop a fully integrated research program in emerging infectious diseases. We will have the facilities. Galveston Medical Center will have a facility. These two universities won a competition to establish these laboratories. And by fully integrated, I mean be able to, on a campus where you have researchers, clinicians who are interested in an expert in infectious disease, work in facilities that allow them to work with pathogens that are affecting the world. And I see this, if you connect that with our interest in global health that comes from the School of Public Health, if you look at our interest in healthcare generally, if you look at the very much in the importance of infectious disease in the Boston Medical Center, if you talk to them about treating infectious diseases there, this gives us a place in this country to take a leadership role in developing treatments and vaccines for infectious disease. I believe, personally, that this is an underserved piece of science in this country. Infectious disease has been looked at by the pharmaceutical industries and by the U.S. government to some extent as someone else's problem, in that many of the diseases affect other people in other places more than they affect people in the United States. They're, quote, third world diseases. Obviously, with airplanes, these diseases get on airplanes and all of a sudden they're first world diseases and there's an interest. So I see this as a place for us to take a leadership role, and my hope and dream about this is that 15 years from now, people look back and there will be cures and vaccines and treatments for things, and they'll say it originated back in Boston at the Boston University Needle, the National Emerging Infectious Disease Laboratory. And so we will take that leadership role.
Having looked at the plans, I'm sure you're absolutely convinced the facility is safe.
Yes.
So what do you say to those folks out in the community who doubt that and who have their lingering concerns about the safety of the lab, considering its location in a major urban environment?
I think what you have to do is look at the track record of the procedures that have been put in place by the government, by the National Institute of Health, and by others for operating these laboratories. And what you have is our commitment, and you have all of the authorities' commitment to operate this laboratory at that set of procedural levels. And so what I say is you have to look at the data. You have to look at the history.
BU has been in the process of building many new buildings around the campus recently, including the Aganis Arena, the John Hancock Student Village, where more expansion is coming. Is there a project now not on the books that you'd like to see occur?
Well, what we did in the fall is I pushed the university into a open, transparent planning process called strategic planning process, starting with the schools and colleges, starting with the programs, having them roll up, and this has been going on all spring now, what their aspirations are in trying to balance those against reality. What my hope is to use that strategic planning process as it develops, and it's starting to crystallize now, to generate out of that process what are the things we need to do from a capital expansion point of view, a capital construction point of view, to advance the university forward. We will, and over time, every university like Boston University with a large residential community has an evolution of its residential community. You're continually taking offline your worst housing and building new housing to replace it. And some of that churn is going on, and that churn is, I wouldn't say it's programmed in the system, but it will continue to go. In terms of what I call core academic facilities, that's going to have to wait to the planning process.
Where does Boston University fit in the scheme of things in the city?
I would like to say we are Boston's university, in that if you look in the university, in the city, if you look at the engagement in the city, we have been traditionally and today are more engaged in the city of Boston than any other university here. And I would like to say that when I step out of this office, that that's more true then than at any time in history.
When you say engaged, what do you mean?
Engaged means that our students are out in the city, they're interning in the city, our programs relate to the city. Today you can find enormous number of ways in which that occurs, that there is service, active service to the city. We understand and revel in the connections to the city with the university. Let me give you some examples. Today we have a School of Hospitality Administration that's one of the best in the country. Undergraduates come here to get a liberal arts education, but to have a focus on working in the hospitality industry on the other side. Now, we don't run a hotel for them to intern in. We don't run restaurants for them to intern in, because their internships are all over the city of Boston and actually out in the world, too. And so that program leverages on the city, and the city leverages on that program. If you talk to people in the hospitality industry in the city, they all know about that program. And that's the kind of engagement. If you go to the dental school, School of Dental Medicine, you'll find the APEX program, where our dental students and interns go out and work in clinics all over the city to serve the underserved, whether it's in the Chelsea school system or in other clinics. So that program is built through its educational processes about working in the city, integrated in the city. And I can give you a long list of programs like that. It flows from the president's office. There's a commitment to it. But when you go out and talk to our faculty and our leadership in the schools and colleges, there's a deeply held commitment in this university that we're in the city of Boston and that there's these connections. And these connections run deep all through the different schools and colleges, whether it's the School of Education, whether it's the dental school, the medical school with its connections with Boston Medical Center. They're there everywhere. And that's what I mean about engaged.
Hypothetical. Let's say 2 years from now, 4 years from now, one of the nation's big news magazines runs a story discussing and maybe rating colleges and universities. And there's a photo of Boston University. Maybe it's a nice picture of Marsh Chapel. And I'm wondering what you think the caption under the photo reads, or what would you like it to read?
This is interesting. I would like us to develop a buzz about us that says if you're a bright, ambitious faculty member, student in any program, go to Boston University because there's opportunities to have excellence in that program and to be engaged in the city and the world, that there are opportunities for you there, that and a university that has this churn about it and engagement that is not mimicked in many places.
Bob Brown, thank you very much for letting us come into your office. It was very nice meeting you.
Well, thank you for coming.
Boston University President Robert Brown speaking with WBUR's Bob Oakes. Now we have Dr. Brown's inaugural speech from this past Thursday's ceremony. He is introduced by Boston University Board of Trustees Chairman Alan Leventhal.
Robert Brown, the students, faculty, and alumni of this university have joined the members of the Board of Trustees in recommending your appointment as president of Boston University. In appointing you to these duties, the Board of Trustees expresses its profound confidence in you and your abilities as you lead Boston University in the years ahead. We charge you to uphold Boston University's tradition of learning, virtue, and piety, while at the same time shaping this university to meet the ever-changing concerns and problems of our age. The university's colors, scarlet, representing courage and life itself, and white, representing the blending of all virtues, are entrusted to you. We now further commit to your care and custody the charter of Boston University. By virtue of the authority vested in me by the Corporation of Boston University and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, I pronounce you Robert A. Brown, the 10th President of Boston University. Congratulations. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my great honor to present to you the 10th President of Boston University, Robert Brown.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please, please. Thank you to Mayor Menino, State Treasurer Cahill, members of the Boston University Board of Trustees, faculty, staff, students, and guests. I stand before you humbled by your response, touched by your participation in today's events, and grateful for the warm welcome that the entire Boston University community has extended to Beverly and to me. People who know me well realize that I don't change settings easily. I am a creature of habit and connections. It was approximately a year ago, as David has said, when I began the conversation with members of the Boston University family that led us being here today. The members of the Presidential Search Committee, led by David D'Alessandro, expressed their deep connection to Boston University and conveyed their hopes for the future. They drew me into the opportunity to serve the university, and I am deeply grateful for their confidence in me. It is a tremendous honor and responsibility to serve Boston University as your president. I pledge to do everything I can to earn that trust you have placed in me. I must pause here to thank the most important person in my life, my wife and sweetheart, Beverly, for her unyielding support during our 37 years together. She is my standard for the highest quality of character, my constant friend and my soulmate, and my companion and confidant on this great adventure. I am truly blessed to have her at my side. Finally, I'd like to acknowledge my two sons, Ryan and Keith, who are my greatest sources of pride, and two people who can humble me in any number of ways. There are many things I want to say this afternoon to the entire Boston University community, our faculty, staff, students, and alumni. My remarks will focus on Boston University as today's events are a time for celebrating our legacy and forging our future. I believe these words eloquently capture the Boston University I have come to understand, where the study of our past is important to defining the core values of the university, where we take stock in our accomplishments as an institution, and where there is palpable excitement and gathering energy to move forward and define our future. Let me speak about our legacy. From its roots as a Methodist seminary, Boston University has been a story of continual growth and transformation. From a collection of buildings scattered about Boston at the turn of the 20th century, Boston University is now a teeming campus stretched along Commonwealth Avenue in a modern healthcare complex in the heart of Boston's South End. From a university that began serving local residents who commuted to class, Boston University has grown into a residential campus attracting students from all across America and from around the world. Today, our faculty and students form a community of teaching, learning, and discovery rich in intellectual diversity. Our impact has been enormous, with 260,000 living alumni of our undergraduate and graduate programs, and our family is continually expanding. Our legacy is as a private university with wonderful breadth and depth. For undergraduates, there is a kaleidoscope of opportunities, each built on a liberal arts core and with specializations across the spectrum of disciplines. We offer a liberal arts education with all manner of concentrations in humanities, social science, and sciences, and more professionally focused degrees in communication, management, performing arts, education, and engineering, to name just a few. Everywhere, we strive to graduate educated, informed citizens who can reason about important issues in the world, who can take their place in a global economy, and who can lead our society. At no time in history has the mission of educating our youth for the challenges of citizenship and for participating in a competitive society been more important to this country and to the world. In parallel with our commitment to undergraduate education, there are nationally known graduate professional programs in the age-old triad of law, medicine, and theology, as well as all the relative newcomers, such as business, communications, public health, and the performing arts. At Boston University, as elsewhere, professional and graduate educations are cornerstones of the modern research university. Across both our campuses, we are blessed with faculty who work at the leading edges of their disciplines, producing research and scholarship befitting a great research university, and who also care deeply about education and student learning. Great faculty who care about teaching. And what variety of faculty we have. World-class high-energy physicists, talented musicians, award-winning journalists, historians, philosophers, doctors, dentists, and even engineers. To the faculty, you are the university's most important resource, and I pledge to support your efforts aimed at continuing excellence in education and research. Diversity and inclusion also have been cornerstones of our legacy throughout the history of Boston University. For example, when Boston Medical School opened its doors in 1873, it admitted women and African Americans. Moreover, Boston University was the first American university to award a PhD degree to a woman, Helen McGill, in 1877. The first woman to join the Massachusetts Bar was an 1881 Boston University Law School graduate, Lila Josephine Robinson. And the School of Theology awarded the first degree in theology to a woman in 1876, Anna Oliver, although the Methodist Church would not ordain her. The sculpture, Free at Last, by Sergio Castillo, that adorns the plaza at Marsh Chapel as a tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., and the interdenominational services that are performed inside the chapel are continuing recognition that the legacy of inclusion lives on. The university's accomplishments and impact are intertwined with the city of Boston. Today, over 12,000 undergraduate students live within Boston University's residential community. But when these students walk out of their residences or classrooms, they quickly arrive on Commonwealth Avenue. They see the beeline, and they know they're in Boston. Mayor Menino, we revel in being Boston's university. We are extremely proud of our heritage of engagement with and service to the city. Our engagement is visible today in many ways, most notably through our partnership with Boston Medical Center in providing health care for all the people of Boston and in medical education. Through the continued access of Boston residents to the university, through our efforts in managing the Chelsea school system, and through a myriad of other educational programs and services that engage our students and faculty with city children and residents. Today, students come to Boston University because of the high quality and variety of our educational programs, because of the quality of student life, and because of Boston. They are engaged. Under the masthead of every bug does its part, Our students organized the inaugural gift that has resulted in over 41,700 hours of service to the community and has made the bright yellow Bobby Brown T-shirt a campus icon. I am deeply grateful to all of this outpouring of community service in my name and the name of the university. Our legacy of engagement and our entrepreneurial spirit has spread Boston University's impact around the globe through international programs for Boston-based students and for students in their home countries. What began as engagement with Boston has spread to undergraduate programs in London, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, and Dresden, and to education programs focused on public health in Africa and research on emerging infectious diseases around the world. We should be extremely proud of the leadership that Boston University is demonstrating in the focus on infectious disease research. These diseases, many of which have been characterized as third world problems, have been understudied in this country. Our conviction to invest in research will lead to much needed treatments and vaccines. As has been said, the third president of Boston University, Lemuel Merlin, said in his 1911 inaugural address that the goal of our university was to be in the heart of the city, in the service of the city. We have fulfilled President Merlin's goal and accomplished much more. Today, we can boast that Boston University is a great private research university in the heart of the city, engaged in the city and the world. It is my honor to acknowledge the presence on the podium of three past presidents of Boston University, each of whom has played pivotal roles in shaping our institution: Aram Trebanian, John Wessling, and John Art Silber. These gentlemen, especially Dr. Silber, have helped mold the Boston University that I have described to you and have set the foundation for our future. And now the future. Let me begin with a little personal evaluation of myself. As has been noted several times, I am an engineer. And with this background comes my instincts to jump in and work to help people solve problems. I do have this inclination, probably to a fault. I also have a propensity for numbers. I am known to say, where is the data on an issue? I try to communicate an understanding about the university to all who will listen in the hope of creating shared understanding and common cause. This is not a simple goal because of the complexity inherent in the operation of a large private university. I also strive to live according to Albert Einstein's dictum of make everything as simple as possible, but not simpler, although I have mixed success. What is less appreciated about me is that behind this analytical facade, I have a very active imagination. In my earlier days as a faculty member, I imagined the solution of mathematical problems coming from research and lectures that fit perfectly together. Okay, I admit these were strange dreams. But they were harmless in that they were only shared with a few colleagues, with either the graduate student who was toiling in research or the students in a class who were struggling with not so simple explanations of concepts and techniques. Today, I find myself in the highly exposed position of sharing with you my imagined hopes for Boston University. I will do my best to make it simple. In my short time here, I have begun constructing an image of what our university can become for us and for the future students and faculty who join our community. I cannot give you a prescription for the institution, but I can talk about five words that are shaping the images I see. They are learning, excellence, connectivity, engagement, and inclusion. Learning, above all other descriptors I can imagine, learning describes Boston University today and in the future. We have been and will continue to strive to be a learning community for all faculty, students, and staff. Learning flourishes here in the traditional classroom settings. However, equally as important, learning occurs by engagement of all of us in our campus community in Boston and the world around us. This learning community encompasses the undergraduate student who helped generate almost 42,000 hours of community service for a gift to the university. The student who rides the BU bus to the medical campus to work on an undergraduate research project. The dental student who participates in the APEX program that gives dental service to underserved communities in Boston. Or the law student who volunteers at a legal clinic. It includes all the students who study away from our campus and those who intern in Boston and around the world. It includes the spectacular evening lectures by Professor Elie Wiesel and the readings sponsored by the Creative Writing Program and other campus organizations. I imagine Boston University becomes known for this broader definition of learning. I can think of no better university to have this goal and no better way to enrich the education of our students. Excellence. Instilling the never-ending drive for excellence in everything we do has been and will remain a central theme of our university. Whether it is promoting excellence in teaching, scholarship, and research, or in providing dining for our undergraduates, we must insist on the highest quality, just as we demand the same quality in our students' work. We will continue to build academic excellence on the pillars of our faculty and graduate programs, as it is the individual creativity of our faculty and the energy emanating from their research and scholarship which inspires and nourishes our learning community. Connectivity. Perhaps the most challenging vision I have for Boston University is to be known as one connected, integrated community of scholars and students, researchers and learners. While representing excellence in our individual disciplines, while educating the next generation of scholars and leaders, we have an enormous opportunity. We can become the large private university known for thinking about the whole. This concept takes many forms, from connecting the Boston University alumni community to their university, to connecting students from the schools and colleges across our campuses, to strengthening our connections to the city and the world, to bringing together our intellectual breadth to focus on challenges in research and on undergraduate education. We have the opportunity to lead in interdisciplinary research. This initiative is well underway, especially in interactions between the medical school and academic departments along the Charles River. Here, colleagues have joined together and successfully launched collaborative initiatives, including major programs in biomedical engineering and bioinformatics. We are at the forefront of these areas because our faculty foresaw the blurring of the boundaries between traditional biological science, physical science, and mathematics in modern research in life sciences. We will build on these successes and create more opportunities for collaboration and interdisciplinary innovation. In a larger context, we all agree about the magnitude of the challenges faced by society. We agree that significant progress will require innovation that goes well beyond any single discipline. For example, consider the challenges of developing an environmentally sustainable energy policy, or of providing affordable health care for us and for the world. Boston University will play a role in shaping the dialogue and defining the approaches to these challenges by bringing together the strength and diversity of the university. The Pardee Center's successful conferences on global health and human development and on the role of religion in the longer-range future are indications of the enthusiasm our faculty has for truly interdisciplinary collaboration. Perhaps our greatest opportunity for connectivity lies in the potential to create a truly unique undergraduate educational experience. We have the resources to fuse a 21st century liberal arts education with opportunities for students to concentrate in professional disciplines. Today, our undergraduate education does not demand a choice between becoming well-educated and providing for a professional career. We work hard to balance these objectives, but we can go further. We can pioneer the new educational balance between professional and personal development and develop a set of opportunities that resonate for students across all of our schools and colleges. We can be increasingly known for graduating teachers with rich foundations in science and mathematics, for artists with liberal arts backgrounds, engineers and managers with the humanities and social science underpinnings needed to work effectively in international settings, and journalists with a deep understanding of historical and social political context. In my image of our undergraduate environment, we can apply Boston University's enormous resources to create a nearly boundaryless educational opportunity, with the arts and sciences at the core, but with the limit, but not the limit of an undergraduate experience. As a newcomer to campus, it is with great trepidation that I think about the future of undergraduate education at Boston University. As so many university presidencies have died on the mountain of educational change. But discussions with our faculty have convinced me there is energy here to take on this challenge, and we will together. Engagement. A university in the 21st century cannot be an ivory tower. Creating knowledge for society and educating our future generations is a contact sport. Our university, our students, and faculty must be engaged in all facets of the world. I imagine Boston University being known as a place for students and faculty who clamor for this engagement, whether in Boston or abroad. Said another way, if you are looking for the adiabatic academic cloisters of the past, don't look to Boston University. I think we could tell that today. There are many questions. What forms will engagement take in the 21st century? How will we best educate our students for participating in the world? What will Boston University's role be in the development of global private higher education? I believe the answers to these questions are interrelated. The concept of a university is changing as the world becomes more interconnected, as our students look toward their education to prepare them more for full participation in it, and as students around the world are seeking the kind of education offered here. It is timely that we develop a strategy for Boston University's role in the evolution of global higher education. Inclusion. The legacy of Boston University demands that we do everything in our power to make our campus inclusive of all people who have the intellect and drive to be members of our community. Inclusion means men and women faculty of all races and backgrounds working together in research, education, and leadership. Inclusion means students of different races, nationalities, and socioeconomic backgrounds learning and living together. A great university must be a meritocracy based on openness and empowerment of all of its faculty and students. The founders of Boston University had this dream, and we will honor it. To achieve this goal with our student body, we must aggressively recruit and find financial aid for students who do not have the resources to attend this university. This hurdle will be large. It will be one of our biggest challenges, as we do not have a large financial endowment to be used for funding student financial aid. We must raise funds to support the undergraduate student financial aid required to increase the access of Boston University for students from all socioeconomic backgrounds. I will be asking our alumni and friends to help us take on this challenge. The focus on access to the university also comes together in efforts to increase the flow of qualified city students. We can make a difference in this crucial arena. It is inspiring to me to share this goal with so many at Boston University who are already involved in outreach to K-12 education in our cities. These colleagues bring the same passion to making a difference in the lives of younger inner-city children as they are bringing to teaching and research on our campus. Today, Boston University is one of the premier large private universities in the world, focusing on learning, excellence, connectivity, engagement, and inclusion. Can make us a better place to learn and discover. I truly believe that universities are places where dreams come true, where having an imagination is paramount, and where hard work and intelligence are all that matters to excel in education and research. My most profound goal is to help Boston University be this type of institution for our students and faculty. I commit my energy. I look forward to joining with all of you to make this vision a future and a reality. Thank you again for joining me today to celebrate Boston University.
You've been listening to Dr. Robert A. Brown speaking this past Thursday at his installation as Boston University's 10th president. He was introduced by Boston University Board of Trustees Chairman Alan Leventhal. Earlier in the program, we heard Dr. Brown speaking with WBUR's Morning Edition host Bob Oakes. For a CD or cassette of Boston University's World of Ideas, call 1-800-909-9287. That's 1-800-909-9287. CDs and cassettes are $15, which includes shipping and handling. Tonight's program was produced by Tim Skog and Matt Odette, with help from Vince Fairchild. Our web producer is Angel Caselli. I'm Deborah Becker. Thanks for joining us.